All right, that was a song by The Adults. And as promised earlier, now in the studio with me, I've got John Toogood. How are you, John?
I'm really good, thank you. It's a lovely Wednesday.
Thank you so much for coming up. Awesome to have you. Now, everything is behind you pretty much, isn't it? All your interviews and...
Yeah, pretty much. It's basically now on to rehearsing for the tour. And I'm really looking forward to that because I get to play with Shane Carter and Julia Deans. And yeah, it's going to be great, I reckon.
Cool. Oh, yeah. Okay, let me have a look at my questions that I wrote down.
Sure.
Because I wrote down 2 pages.
Oh, wow. Excellent. Let's go.
In really big typo because my eyes are so bad. Okay. When you started to think about doing a collaborative album with another band than She Had, what did you want it to sound like when you first had the idea? And does it sound different from what it sounds now?
Actually, I didn't. When I first had the idea, it was more about releasing a whole bunch of music that I'd written that wasn't right for She Had, and that quickly turned into a collaborative record or idea once I actually started writing with Julia Deans, who was the first person I wrote with. And then it was like, wow, this is way more interesting to me because it doesn't sound like me or it doesn't sound like Julia. It sounds like something new. So it was like, well, if this is the case with the first thing I do, maybe I'll just leave all that stuff that I've written by myself and just travel around and write with some people that are really talented and learn off them and have a great time doing it, you know. And so after that, there's been people like, you know, Shane Carter, who I'm a big fan of, through Straightjacket Fits and Dimmer and even the Double Happies and stuff like that. And also Nick Rowan, who was in the Skeptics, who is a very like special band to, I think, all the boys in She Had, even though we don't sound anything like them. It's definitely a band that we saw when we were young and it really changed the way we looked and felt about music. And then beyond that, yeah, people like Lady Six, who's extremely talented, as you know, and Anika and, the you know, Ruben and Cody, Nelson, the brothers from the Mint Chicks, who are now doing their own things and making great music themselves. And so I've been very, very lucky. And but basically, writing with other people really is, you come up with something that you wouldn't come up with by yourself, you know. Mm. Because you get their music influences and you get their experiences and you add that with your musical experiences and you come up with something new, and it's really exciting, you know.
Yeah. I was wondering, I mean, now you told us all about the people you've worked with, and I was wondering how you pitched the idea to them. What did you tell them?
I actually kept it pretty simple. I sort of basically made a list and just sent them emails and said, listen, I just want to jam, you know, like I just want to, and if you're up for a jam, I'm going to be in this part of the country at this time. Does this suit you? When are you going to be here? And it was just, everyone sort of pretty much came back and went, yeah, sure, I'll be up for a jam. That'd be great, you know. The only one that it wasn't actually being turned down. It was actually I was going to work with Brad from Cora, and but he 2 weeks oh no yeah about a week before we were to play together, he broke his collarbone in a jiu-jitsu tournament. So
as you do,
if you're into the martial arts and stuff, which all the boys in Cora are. So yeah, so that was the only mishap along the way. Everyone else was just totally up for it, and it was I'm really lucky. Yeah, really lucky.
In hindsight, now that the album is finished, do you listen to it sometimes and think, damn it, I should have asked so and so?
No, you know what, I honestly had the biggest problem I had was I had so much music that I loved. It was hard to make an album, you know, under 48 minutes, you know, because it was yeah. Like, I don't, you know, I realize as a music listener, it's hard to, you know, keep your concentration on anything past sort of, you know, 45 minutes or, you know, an hour. And I had too much music, if anything. So, I mean, there are definitely people that, yeah, I could. I wish I could jam with maybe in the future. But as far as this record goes, I'm more than happy with what I've got. Yeah.
Follow-up project: The Elderly,
The Adults too. Return of old.
But you said you've got a lot of material. Is there something in in the future there could be something like a bonus CD release where you've got the demos or something.
Without a doubt. I mean, there's actually beyond demos. That's the thing about the adults. There's no demos for any of this
yeah,
stuff.
I can't imagine.
It's all live. It's all what I made sure I did was worked with very talented engineers so that whenever we were set up to record, if we had a good idea, it was good enough to use for Tiki to mix later on and stuff like that. So it was all about the live idea, or just the initial idea, and the magic that sort of happens between, you know, the musicians playing together at the same time. You know, it's very opposite to the way I do things in Shehard, which is very structured, which is also, I mean, it's just a different way of doing it. You know, I actually really enjoy making the big sound that Shehard makes. It's like being inside a big beast, you know, and it's fun. But this was about turning all of those processes on its head and doing something completely different. Yeah.
Cool. When you listen to this CD again, do you have a favorite moment that you didn't come up with yourself? And
Well, there's plenty. The lyrics that Lady wrote for a song called "Please Wake Up" are actually beautifully heartbreaking, and it was from her own personal experience, and she articulated it so well. I mean, we supplied the music for her to do that, but I mean, I didn't have those words. I mean, she wrote them, and it's probably one of my favorite songs.
Do you have a favorite line that touches you?
I think I like in that song, I like how she says, "Now you sleep in the falling leaves. You know, you haunt me in my broken dreams. I see you looking and hearing me, but you won't do what I need. You know, please wake up." I mean, she's talking to someone that's died, you know, and it's I love that imagery of "you sleep in the falling leaves," you know, like it's really quite beautiful.
Is that also your favorite song from the album?
It's definitely one of the highlights, without a doubt. Trust me, every song that goes on that has gone on that record, I love, you know, and it wouldn't be on there if I didn't. But that one is so powerful that it had to be at the end of the record because nothing could follow it, you know. It is very powerful, you know.
So you just mentioned how different it is to write with Shehard than to writing with the adults. What's the difference in general for you writing songs on your own to writing songs with other people?
It's actually more of a lonely experience. At the same time, you know, I know how I feel about the world better than anybody else. You know, it can be a very satisfying experience when you do articulate what you're thinking or what you believe in a song by yourself, because you own that, you know, and it's yours, and it is a really special feeling. But it can be hard work, and it can be a lonely process, I think, you know. And what was nice about this is when you've got talented people like Shane and Julia and Anika and Lady around you, it's like you get stuck on a line. It's like you've got these other minds going, well, there's this way you could say that, or there's this way you could say that, or vice versa. It's like, you know, Lady might have got stuck on a line, and it'd be like, well, actually, you could say it like this. And it's just like having a... yeah, just more experience to draw from, you know.
Or knowing some of the people you worked with, I can imagine you would have laughed a whole lot. Oh my god.
Oh yeah. Definitely Anika and Tiki. I think they're the two people I laughed a whole lot with. Anika to work with is a joy, but the only problem is by the end of the day my stomach is sore from laughing. It feels like going to the gym. She doesn't stop. Yeah, she actually doesn't stop. And Tiki is actually hilarious as well. So everyone's pretty funny, you know. Me and Shane have had a few laughs. Me and Jude's had a few laughs. But yeah, I mean, it's weird. It's like I was sort of talking about this with a friend this morning. It was like, you know, you're sort of dealing with like quite sort of serious subjects when you're writing this sort of music. It's like you're dealing with life and loss and death and love and things that really mean something to you, and it's almost like you to do that, you're really looking deep. You're looking at in the mirror really hard, and sometimes that's actually quite hard to do for a long period of time. So to get that feeling away, you end up just talking nonsense and telling jokes, you know, and it helps lighten the situation, because you can't stay in that same realm all the time, otherwise you'd be depressed all the time, you know. Well, it would just be too, everything would be too serious, and it would, you know, I'd like to have a laugh, you know.
Yeah. Is there any song on the CD? No, I only just got it now. So I can actually hear it.
That's all right.
But is there any song where you could actually hear the laughing, sort of in the music, not actually?
Joyous wise, I mean, like, I think the opening track, 1 Million Ways, is actually quite a joyous, uplifting song. It's about being just life in general and how you're presented with a million paths and which one is the right one. And it's like, that's always the perplexing question. It's like, well, I could take this path, but that might mean I'm missing out on that opportunity, or I could take that opportunity and that might mean I'm missing out on that. So which one do you take? You know, that's the perpetual sort of question when you're going through life, you know, whether it's like writing a song or whether it's like choosing a career or whatever, you know, and, or choosing a partner even, you know. That's quite a joyous song to me. What else is, I mean, it's weird. Like, I find sad songs to be quite joyous as well.
Oh, you know? Same.
Yeah.
I'm a happy person. I love Elliot Smith.
Yeah, yeah. it's true. It's like, when you hear a sad song that articulates, something that you feel deeply about, it's like, you feel less alone in the world.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Which is, some of my happiest moments are some of the saddest songs on there, you know? Yeah.
So look, we've got a lot of young musicians in particular listening to the show, and they're always... Yeah, they quite enjoy learning something as well. And one thing I wanted to bring up is that obviously the people you worked with are all professional musicians, and there must have been a whole lot of contractual stuff about songwriting, who gets how many percent of the APRA income and different record companies.
Yep.
How difficult was that? Because there's so many people from all different areas.
Wonder about that stuff. Well, basically what I did right at the start was pretty much say, if we're writing a song together, we'll just go 50-50 on it. Just so that it means that it clears the air pretty much straight away, and everyone can relax and just make music and not worry about it. So to keep things equitable is probably, if you're thinking about collaborating, that's probably the best way to do it. It means that there's no resentment, you know. And because that's you don't want that while you don't want people thinking about money while you're making music, because because that's not what it's about, you know. You're going into it to try and make something pure, you know, and the best music is just pure, you know. So yeah, the way I approached it was like, okay, from the word go, everything we write, we'll just go 50-50 on, you know.
So you mean like split evenly? If you're three people, it's 33-point-something%?
It's basically, no, it's just 50-50 with whoever writes the words and then and the music, you know. So what else? As far as contractual things with if people are signed to other record companies, I let Warner Music, which is the label that's putting this out, deal with the other record companies. I don't want to be dealing with that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm dealing with people, you know. I mean, it's just best to keep everything equitable. I mean, that's it, you know.
About Warner, that was another question. Because your album, I think it sounds quite indie.
Right.
It does, doesn't it? But you went with a major label. What's the advantage for you as a musician? I mean, you partly mentioned just before that they take care of a lot of things.
There's that, but also for me, Warner Music, Shehad have been with Warner Music for, I don't know, 10, 12 years. I know every single person in that office. So to me, it's like a big indie, even though it is a major label. It's just, I know everyone personally, like every single person. I can go to someone about the posters, I can, so you know, I know everyone's name, I know everyone's phone number. It's like it's a family to me. So I didn't really think about that sort of thing when I was making this record. I mean, they were happy to put it out And I was happy that they were happy to put it out because I knew them all and I trust them. I mean, like, I always know that when I come back to New Zealand, here's the artwork for the record, and I know when I walk around Auckland and I see a poster, it's been printed beautifully and it looks fantastic and it's exactly the way I want it without me even having to say anything, you know. They do a really good job, you know.
That's awesome.
But it definitely helps to know the people. I mean, that's, I mean, it just comes down to people.
Well, and it's trust, isn't it?
Yeah, know, totally.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. I saw an interview in which you, which I think you called Shane Carter scary.
Scary. yeah, well, I mean, he's not so much scary as the fact that he is the generation before mine. He makes me feel, I mean, well, the thing is, I used to see him when I was 20, you know, years old, playing at Paisley Park with Straitjacket Fits, and then after that, see him play with Dimmer, and I was a fan, you know, and I am still a fan, a big fan, and he's that much older, and so I, you know, I have that thing where I feel like the kid or the fan, you know. At the same time, we definitely are peers, you know, and we definitely know how to have a laugh together. But yeah, I mean, when you're writing, especially when you're writing words with somebody who you respect, it's scary because you're bearing your soul, and you're, you know, writing's a personal thing. And you really hope like hell that they don't hate it, you know, because yeah, it would hurt, you know. Yeah, so it's intimidating. It was at first, but we soon worked out quite a really a good way to write together. We would just get on a roll and let the momentum take us. And if we'd get stuck or if we didn't like something, we'd be honest with each other and just find something else, you know. And it was good. It was a good way to write.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
So you mentioned before you'll be going on tour very soon.
Yes.
When are you going to play here in Auckland?
Now I just saw a poster in your toilet, actually.
Yes, I saw that too earlier. I started this. It's my poster behind the door. This is the first one.
Let me just check my phone.
The BFM
now,
toilet.
Now, I definitely know it's the... Is it the backer room?
Mm-hmm.
And it's two nights there. And
it's brilliant that you're playing at the Backer Room. That's a really good venue.
I've heard it's small, fantastic.
It's intimate, yeah. And they've got a really good sound system.
Yeah.
There. And so, don't take anyone.
Hold it. Yeah. It's the 15th and 16th of July at the Backer Room. So it's a Friday and Saturday night.
So how come such a small venue?
Because I just wanted, again, it's a continuation of wanting to do everything different from Shehart, you know, like... it's also, I think the music will suit that sort of venue.
Absolutely.
And
I'm not complaining. I'm a fan of.
Yeah. So I think it would suit that size venue. I just want to do something different, you know?
Cool.
Yeah.
Thanks heaps for coming up.
My pleasure.
So what's up next for you?
Basically, yeah. And getting rehearsing for this tour and making sure that we're as good as we possibly can be for it. It'll be cool.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much. Let's play another song from the CD. Is there anyone do you think we should totally play next?
We should play... let's play Long Way Off, which is a song by me and Shane.
Awesome.
And yeah, it's sort of dark, but I like it.
Cool. Let me find that, and then we're going to play that. Thanks heaps.
Sweet, dude.
Bye.